Well, good evening again. Good to see so many people out here tonight and so many young people. This message is for you, young people. We're in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if you want to turn there. And we'll be looking at verses 9 through 16. If some of you do remember, the last Sunday we met with you, and I got to speak through, and we began a journey through Psalm 119 in a series I guess I'll call Walking in the Word. And that is, we're recognizing that we live our lives by the very Word of God. And the theme in this section actually is sanctification. Now, by sanctification, I mean, now there is a point where we're sanctified, we're set apart from the world and unto God as we're saved. But I'm thinking more of that process that God leads us through, where in His grace and His mercy, He molds us and shapes us to become more and more and more like Him and like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. And we live in sanctification as believers from the very first nanoseconds of our conversion. The Lord begins working on our hearts. To the final time we close our eyes, the Lord is working in our heart in terms of this work of sanctification that He does in our lives. So we live the Christian life in sanctification, and yet sanctification is not for the faint of heart. I'm sure you realize that. We saw serious and specific hints about that last time we met, and we'll get more hints of that even tonight. Now the passage, like the passage we read last week, and like many that we'll read ahead in the months to come, we'll be very privileged to come and speak to you, well, at least once a month, at least for the next few months, so that's a great thing. But in these passages that we'll read ahead, and even the one today, it speaks over and over again, and we did this last week, of God's Word being God's Word. God's Word as God's Word. And, of course, we emphasized that last time, but let's look at that again. Let's look at how it happens as you scan the lines of verses 9 through 16. Again, in verse 9, the Word is simply, not simply named the Word, right? It's your Word. It's God's Word. In verse 10, the commandments are not just commandments, right? They're your commandments. They're God's commandments. In verse 11, the Word is not simply the Word, but it's your Word. It's God's Word. In verse 12, the statutes are not simply the statutes, but they're your statutes. They're God's statutes. In verse 13, they're not just the judgments, but they're the judgments of your mouth. Isn't that a beautiful way to speak of God's judgments? The judgments of your mouth. In verse 14, it's not just the testimonies, it's your testimonies. In verse 15, it's not just the precepts or even the ways, it's your precepts and your ways. Again, in verse 16, it's not simply the statutes or the Word. It's your statutes and your words, your Word. So once again, there's this emphasis throughout the psalm and throughout particularly this section of Psalm 119 is that God's Word is God's Word. These are the very words of God. They're not words that we got secondhand. They're not the philosophical words of human beings written down. They are the very words of God. And we have them in our laps. We have them to read and to study and to hear preached. The very words of God. And these words are very, very important. They're a very, very important theological point for sanctification. And really, it may well have been one of the significant, the cause of one of the significant breakdowns that occurred after the exile that led to the rise of this formal, external form of religion that was propounded by the Pharisees. You see, they separated God from His Word. And now you'll already see, I guess if you've allowed yourself to scan down to verse 9, that in this psalm, it's addressed specifically to young men. Now, of course, it's applicable to all of us, isn't it? But specifically to young men. Now, I don't know how you identify yourself. I'm not going to define what a young man is. If you want to identify as a young man, that's fine. I don't think I consider myself a young man. Even I would say a young man's anybody under 40. But, if you want to identify as that, that's fine. In fact, when I'm done here tonight, you may be glad you're not a young man, if you're not a young man. If you're in that category tonight. But the psalmist is talking about sanctification here. Sanctification really for all believers, but for the young specifically and young men in particular. So we'll pause and we'll think about that together as we study God's Word. Why don't we read it all together, huh? Starting with verse 9, this is God's Word. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Lord, thanks again for this time we could gather together and look into your word. The very words of God. Lord, we thank you for the fact that it is quick. And it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, with it, you reach down into the dividing of our soul and spirit. You pierce our hearts, and Lord, with it, you change hearts and you change lives. So Lord, may we come out of here even tonight with a renewed confidence, just a reminder that, Lord, this is your word. May we heed it. May we obey it. May we love it and read it. Lord, bless our time in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Bible says so much about sanctification. I mean, it is so utterly realistic about sanctification. The Bible is so utterly helpful about sanctification. In fact, to me, one of the great proofs that the Bible is true is the way that it talks about sanctification. All believers, I hope every one of us have aspirations, we have desires. It is the desire of our heart to be more godly, to live more godly lives, to do the right things, to love the right things, to pursue holiness, to grow in grace, to mature in Jesus Christ. I hope that's all our desire. I hope that's all of our aspirations. We want to mature. But all believers know that this is a tremendous challenge also, our sanctification, right? In fact, sometimes it's a war, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like it's a war that we're losing. We're losing this battle. Sometimes it even seems like it's a futile effort. And when you feel that way, in passage after passage after passage in the Word of God, it's as if God is saying to us, I understand. I understand you struggle with that, and I wrote this in a book thousands of years before you were ever born. And I want to help you through this. And I love you, and I want you to grow in grace, but there are some things that I need you to know. And so he wrote this down for us. And we're going to look at that, these things in our passage tonight. And I want to note these things, three things really, from this passage that we can learn about our sanctification. And we'll jump right into it. Roman numeral number one. Oh, does everybody have a sheet? Does anybody want one that doesn't have one? I think we have more in the back if you do. Okay? Roman numeral number one, very simple. God is interested in our sanctification. God is greatly interested in our sanctification, in our growth in grace, especially if we look at this passage, in the growth of in grace of the young. And specifically in the growth in grace of young men, specifically. And I just want to say a few words about that tonight. Now, when you read verse 9, it says this, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" And our younger, you younger people here tonight, when you read that passage, don't write that off as maybe some older man giving you one of those, "Well, when I was your age" stories. Because he's not, right? You may be tempted when you hear the psalmist say, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" to roll your eyes and say, "Okay, here goes another story. Here comes another lecture." Right? But that's not what's happening. Here's the interesting thing. You know the young man that the psalmist is writing about here? May very well be the psalmist himself. Or maybe he's an old man who's been wizened by years, and he's looking back at his life as a young man, and he's saying, "Look, I wish these were things that I had known when I was your age, when I was a young man." And so the psalmist very well may be that person. And he's not telling you one of those "when I was your age" stories. But he's preaching to himself. So, young people, listen. Listen to his words. He says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" Okay, so there we have the issue, the problem, right? It's an external thing. How can we cleanse our way? How can we live lives that are pleasing to God? Well, the answer, in fact, is internal. And he says, by taking heed according to your word. And I want to say three things specifically about God's interest in our sanctification. Letters A, B, and C. Letter A is this. As the psalmist preaches to himself and perhaps looks back on a time when he himself was a young man, we're reminded from him that all of us need to learn and relearn the way of purity and holiness. All of us need to learn and relearn the way of purity and the way of holiness, of righteousness. All of us. And he's writing a psalm here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that hundreds of years of Jewish believers and hundreds of years of Christian believers would go to base their lives on. And he's still preaching to himself. And he's still begging God for help with this process of sanctification. He's begging God for that help in prayer. And he's still looking back. And maybe there are regrets. Maybe there are times when he remembers that, well, he didn't follow God's word. He didn't do what he was supposed to. And he remembers the pain through that. Think about that. And this psalmist, in the very aspirations he lifts up in this psalm, he reminds us of those things. I mean, do you hear the history of verse 11, maybe? Verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And imagine maybe he's looking back at his life and he remembers the times when he didn't do that, right? He didn't hide God's word in his heart, and he sinned, and he made those mistakes, and he doesn't want to do it again. And so he wants God's word to be in his heart, so he doesn't do it again. Can you imagine how many memories probably flashed through his mind when he wrote those words? All of us need to learn and relearn the way of purity and of righteousness. Letter B. Okay? Sanctification is for your joy. Sanctification is for your joy. And these words about sanctification, these words about growth in grace, these words about maturity are especially applicable to youth and to young people. Like we said, this morning we got a sort of an email, I guess, Facebook post from a someone we love and we know we're very dear to, who is a parent, and their young daughter is struggling a bit and wants to wants to, what's the word? Transition from a girl to a boy. And their response is this. Their response is, they claim to be Christians. They say, I know what the Bible says. I know what I'm supposed to do. But my daughter is struggling. She doesn't have any joy in her life. So you know what? I'm going to support her 100%. Now, is that the right answer? Is that the real way to joy? Can I just take some time to just speak to the young people this morning? This evening, should I say? Those who are under the authority of your parents. And I'm not going to tell you anything that I hope any of your parents might come up here and say themselves. But do you realize, I don't know if you truly can appreciate or adequately appreciate how much we as parents do love you. And we want you to experience fullness in your lives. And you know, sometimes when you hear us say, do this and don't do that, you may tend to think that all we have for you are commandments and prohibitions. And you know what? All we want to do is rain on your parade. But I want to tell you, it is the desire of all of our hearts as parents. It is the desire of all of our hearts that you experience joy in your life like we never had. And that you not go through some of the pain that we had to go through when we were younger, when we learned things the hard way. And if we could go with you throughout all your life, if we could stick with you and keep you from the pain that we know you'll experience in life, you know what? We would gladly do it. But you know, we can't. We can't be with you all the time. In fact, one day we'll be gone, we'll be off the scene, and this world's going to be yours. And all we can leave with you is this word. This word that was handed down to us from our fathers and from our forefathers, and a word that will always be with you, even when we can't. And when we give this word to you, when we preach this word to you, we do it for your joy. We don't do it to diminish your joy. We do it to increase your joy. Because the psalmist here, he knows something that, you know what, a lot of the young people that maybe you hang around with or that are at your school, a lot of the young people don't know. Because they're going to tell you that the way to real joy, the way to real happiness in life is to decide to go your own way. Make your own decisions. But we know. You know what? We know that real joy, real happiness, it comes from deciding to do things God's way. Please know that. That's what the psalmist is trying to get across tonight. And I hope he does through this very weak speaker. But enough of that. Let us see. I want to talk to you about sanctification and young men. That's the third thing I want to say. It's especially to young men, because this psalm is especially and specifically applicable to young men. Now listen to these wise words written by William Plummer nearly 150 years ago. He says this, "The scriptures would not be perfect if they did not give proper directions, warnings, and encouragements to young men. Their case is full of interests. By birth's sin, their way is already defiled, and they are inexperienced, self-confident, rash, and inconsiderate." Any of that describe any of you? I don't know. That probably described me when I was younger. "The imagination of their hearts is evil. Their passions are strong, their principles are weak, their lusts imperious, and their self-knowledge very imperfect. till taught from heaven. They are void of wisdom, and their will is stubborn, and they are impatient of restraint. All rules not yet enforced by divine authority are too feeble to control their strong inclinations. And yet, youth is the seed time for both for maturity in life and for eternity. In such a circumstance, God's word is the only antidote by which we can protect ourselves against the corruption of our nature. One wrong step in youth is very apt to lead to another and yet another until ruin comes. I'm going to say something that probably a lot of you already know, and that's this. Young Christian men are an endangered species. Nothing in this culture today is designed to help you. Everything about this culture today is designed to break you down and make you doubt God's word. And I'll say this, your Heavenly Father cares about your soul. And he knows that his plan for families and in his plan for the church, it's very dependent on the maturity of Christian young men. Godly young men. And here we have a congregation of brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers who are more than willing to come alongside you, put their arms around you, and help you as you mature in your Christian faith. We all would do that for you. To help you walk that life of faith. To help you have joy in obeying God's word. And this psalm, is a psalm for you. This passage is a passage for you. And the psalmist has a word here about sanctification, again, that is applicable to all of us. And we all should listen. We all should heed it, but particularly to young men. Well, let's go to the second point. And that's this. Here's the second thing I want you to say. Roman numeral number 2, I want to say about this psalm. This psalm teaches us that sanctification does not occur in our own strength. Sanctification does not occur by our own strength. It doesn't occur by our own innate strength or our power or our resolve or our effort or anything like that. I mean, there's all sorts of resolve in this psalm. And there should be. And there should be in the Christian life. Right? There's all sorts of aspirations in this psalm, and there certainly should be aspirations in the Christian life. But our resolve and our aspiration is not equal to the task. We cannot do it in our own power. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And you wonder, how do those things, two things go together? But they do very well. How does the second part follow the first part? I seek you with my whole heart. People seeking God with a whole heart, they don't stray. They don't wander, do they? And yet do you hear the aspiration in the first part of the verse here, followed by the desperation that God would help him to do this? He says, Lord, I want to seek you with my whole heart, Lord, but I don't. And I can't in my own power. Lord, help me. I'm begging you to help me not to wander. He says, Lord, you know my experiences. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I want to seek you, Lord. I want to seek you with my whole heart. Don't let me wander, because I know if I try to do it in my own power, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Would you help me, Lord? By your grace, work in me. And do you somehow hear the words of Paul in this? Why don't you put your marker in Psalm 119? Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll go back to the psalm after this, but Romans chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 15. And this is Paul. Guys, this is Paul writing this. Can you believe this? Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. I mean, do you hear that? Lord, don't let me wander from your commandments. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing the things I don't want to do, that don't please you, and I'm not doing the things that I want to do. I'm not doing the things that would please you. I don't even understand what I'm doing, he says. Don't let me wander from your commandments. And then look at verse 18. Go down to verse 18. He says this, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I mean, isn't that the motto of many Christians? Lord, I want to do what's right, but I don't have the strength to carry it out. I don't have the wisdom to carry it out on my own. So Lord, I need your help. Listen to what Charles Simeon once said. He said this, there is much despondency in the human mind, especially in reference to the great work of sanctification. There are many who wish to become holy, but they do not know how. They would mortify sin, but they cannot. They would serve God in newness of life, but to attempt it appears to be a hopeless task. The people of the world, if exhorted to give themselves to God, do not hesitate to affirm that in the existing state of things, it is impossible. And many who have begun to do this in their own strength and found it insufficiently for so great a work have given up in despair and returned to their former state of carelessness and indifference. It's tough. In fact, it's impossible when we try to please God, when we try to do the right things in our own power. We need God. Isn't what he said, doesn't that sound like Romans 7? Doesn't that psalm sound like Psalm 119 and verse 10? You know, the psalmist is telling you that you are not the engine of your sanctification. Right? God is the engine of your sanctification. What does the Apostle Paul say in Philippians chapter 2? Why is it that we work out our sanctification? Why is it that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Well, because it's God at work in you that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And if you know your habits, and if you know your instincts, and you know your besetting sins, you know that only God can conquer them. Only God can help you with them. And you are helpless against them, utterly helpless. And the psalmist is reminding us here that the work of salvation is first and foremost, the work of sanctification is first and foremost God's work. It's his work. He wants you to have aspirations, yes. He wants you to have resolve. He wants you to long to obey God's word. He wants you to care about God's commands. He wants you to respect God's word. He wants you to live according to it. But he knows that you need him to do it. Listen again to the words of William Plummer. He says, let us cultivate a deep sense of our dependence upon divine grace, relying solely upon God to keep us from going astray. And then listen to what another commentator says. He says this, how true, the more experienced a man has in the ways of God, the more sensible he is of his readiness to wander insensibly by ignorance or inadvertence from the ways of God. You know what he's saying? The more mature in the faith we become, the more immature we realize we are. right? And we need God's help. We need God. And if sanctification won't turn you to rely on God, I don't know what will. Last point, Roman numeral number 3. Third and finally, in this passage, we're reminded again and again that God's word is the means of sanctification. God's word is the means of sanctification. And by saying that, I'm not saying that God is not the engine of your sanctification. Of course, he is. I'm not saying that sanctification is not a work of God's grace, because it is. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is not the enabler of our sanctification. All those things are true. God is at work in our sanctification. Our sanctification is enabled by God's grace at work in us, and it's the Holy Spirit who's working in us, indwelling us, to sanctify us, but the means that he has chosen to do that is the Word of God. The Word, in a sense, if you can imagine this, the Word is the fuel that the Holy Spirit uses to set ablaze our hearts. The Spirit uses the Word as the fuel of our sanctification. And this psalm has it all over the place. And the Word of God plays a part in the sanctification of just about every aspect of our being. Let's look through some of those. How about this one? The direction of our will. The direction of the will. First part of verse 10. With my whole heart, I have sought you. How about the contents of mind and memory? That's in verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. A teachable spirit. Verse 12. Teach me your statutes. The mouth. Verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. The emotions, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And also first part of verse 16, I delight myself in your statutes. How about verse 15, the thought life? Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And the last part of verse 16, I will not forget your word. A love for God, a love for God's word is a love for God expressed in every area of our life. In a heart attitude, in actions, and in words. And the psalmist is telling us here that God's word is a means of sanctification. Let me give you 3 points below that. Letter A, God's word sanctifies, how does God's word sanctify us? God's word sanctifies us, letter A, by telling us the gospel. Right? What is the gospel? The gospel is simply the fact that, you know, we as sinners, we deserve a punishment, and Christ was crucified according to the scriptures, buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he offers salvation to all who put their faith and trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary. The gospel. So, first, God's word tells us the gospel. You know, the one big problem that we have in churches today sometimes is that we're trying to sanctify people before they're justified. We're trying to change people without having changed their hearts. Right? Without having them saved first. They try to grow in godliness before they know God savingly. They try to be more holy before they've been transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the great ways that God's Word works is it works toward our salvation, right? It works toward our sanctification. It works for our conversion. It works for our justification. Letter B. God's Word sanctifies us by giving us the promises of God. God's Word is full of promises. First of all, yes, it teaches us the gospel. It changes us from the inside out. You can't live the Christian life until you've been transformed by the gospel. And then you can start. You can start to be sanctified. And the Bible preaches the gospel to you. And the Bible is crystal clear. It's not written for rocket scientists. It's written for normal, average people like you and me. It's profitable. This is what God promises, that His word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man or the woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible does for us. That's what the Bible promises us. Letter C. God's word sanctifies us because it is memorable. How many times have you gotten into situations where you found yourself wondering what to do, and in a Bible verse maybe that you learned as a child comes to mind, and you say, I know what I should do. You remember God's word because it's sunk into your heart. God has such a remarkable way of telling us things in the word where they just kind of lodge in our hearts and we can't ever get them out. When John Newton thought he was drowning off the coast of Ireland in the bottom of a slave vessel, he remembered the words of scripture that his mother had taught him as a child, and God saved his soul. God's word is memorable. Letter D. God's word sanctifies us by giving us examples. Can you imagine that? Examples. The word of God gives us examples. Good examples and bad examples, right? God's urging of us to godliness is not theoretical. He doesn't say, okay, go be holy. Now you're on your own, right? No, He gives us time after time people in the scriptures who He says, look at how this saint endured their trials and tribulations, and look at how this saint suffered for his faith, and look at my son. And He says, look at their lives, look at what they did, the good and the bad, well, especially the good points, and He says, be like them. And the Bible is filled with the most powerful motives for living the Christian life. It doesn't just say, do this, and leave you at that. It gives you the motivation. It gives you the examples to follow. And the Bible encourages us to pray. To pray for, with hope, for the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us, to change us and transform us, mold us into the image of Christ. And all those things, the Bible gives us, and 100 things more. Wish we had more time. The Bible is the fuel that we live on. The fuel that ignites the fires in our hearts. Let's love it. Let's cherish it. Let's heed it. Let's obey it. Let's pray. Lord, thanks again for Your word. Thank You for the way it, first of all, teaches us the gospel. Lord, how would we know how to have a relationship with You? How would we know how to be saved if we're not for the word that You've given us? Lord, we thank You for that. And I pray that each one here has realized their need for a Savior, their own sinfulness, and their need for Jesus Christ, who died for them, for their sins, and that they've trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us in the weeks and months to come as we strive, as our aspirations, Lord, are to live a life pleasing to You, to grow in grace and to become more like You. May we learn to lean on You and on Your word as You teach us through it, as You mold us and ignite the fires of our heart with Your very word. Lord, may we lean on it in the weeks and months to come. Lord, mature us. Make us more like You. In Jesus' name, amen.